By the way, I think I like this idea that people are now turning in information and whatnot, and if book publishers, and starting with Bright, they should post. If a guy sends a picture, it says, here's a picture illustrating Miklo's point. It seems to me that would be a good idea. Incidentally, the culture wars that involved, he mentions that, you know, that what was going on in that steel workers and mine mill fight, and this, we forget that, or should be reminded, there was a great film made in the United States called Salt of the Earth. It couldn't be shown in any American theater. And somebody attempted to show it in the state of New Mexico. It was set about Mexican-American mine workers in New Mexico. And the American Legion said that they would violently attack the movie theater, you know. But it did manage to be shown. And a lot of really outstanding people were connected with making that film. And here's what the film told the story. It told a mine worker story. They go on strike against a major company. People easily understood which company it was there in New Mexico. It was Mine Mills with the Union. It was a long strike. And at a certain point, of course, they bring in police. They bring in enforcement of laws, such as they say, well, we have an injunction, so you can't picket. So the miners, this is a true story, they turned to their families, their wives and children, and they went out and picketed. The wives did. So, and it was a wonderful battle, and they just told that story with this film. Now, among the things...
Using amateur actors, too, right? They used actors from the community, yeah.
From the community. Yeah. There was one professional. There was a woman.
A woman, that's right.
She was from Mexico.
She was from Mexico.
She was deported.
Yeah.
and because it's a free country, and they're free to deport you. So they... And what they wanted to make into the drama was that this woman is at home, and it's a traditional kind of family structure, and the men are going to the picket lines and they're going to the meetings, and then it turns into the issue: can the women join the strike? Can they go out to the picket lines and can they organize? And many of the men said, "No, I'm the boss." And so then there was all this struggle, and the women began to take over to begin to show leadership, and then the union said, yes, this is the way we've got to go. So I love this, because the United States Congress and Senate and all that got involved, and they said, this film is a message from Moscow. The whole thing was created in Moscow. This is the Kremlin line. So I thought, well, that's kind of interesting. So the Kremlin was in favor of Mexican-Americans getting equal wages with American white workers, which at the time they were not. Mexican-Americans should get equal pay, and that women should be brought into the leadership of movements, and there should be equality for women. So that was Moscow's line. The senator who was fighting him, of course, he was going to see to it that Mexicans did not get equal pay. You know, I'd have to say to him, are you working for the other guy? Or maybe you're an agent, because if that's the choice, people begin to, they can actually add two and two. That sounds like the Kremlin had a better line than the United States Congress, who was trying, by the way, they were deporting people born in the United States, Mexican-American, born in the United States, got deported because, well, you know, speaking Spanish must not be Americans, you know. So that's part of the ugliness.
So, Phil, can I mention there was another Quebec story this week, which is uniquely Quebec, and it was a good news story, which is about eight or 9 years ago, Walmart got unionized at one store in Quebec, and Walmart
closed it.
They had closed it down. And in most places in North America, that would be the end of it, right? And it took a union a long time, but this week the Supreme Court of Canada said, no, the way Quebec's labor code is, you didn't have the right to close that store. Mm-hmm. And therefore, you have to go back now and compensate all of those people who worked for you. And I'm going to send it back to the labor arbitrator to decide how it's going to be done, but you're going to do it. And
wow.
That's a great, great victory. Didn't get a lot of press, of course.
Of course not. Yeah, because they want it understood that you will not be able to organize.
But that was one of the rare times that Walmart got beat.
Well, this is the labor beat today. This is the Taylor Report, CIUT 89.5 FM, Facebook / The Taylor Report. And I think we're on iTunes, someone told me, but I don't know how to tell you how to do that. And, of course, we have taylor-report.com. Something I want to mention from a website that's important that I check. But if you want to know what's going on in the Middle East, I mean, you have to go to frankly, you got to do your homework. You have to go to all the sites. We had the Crescent International, Zafar Ben-Gesh was on last week explaining about this thing, the ISIS crisis, I call it. And but there's a wonderful professor at Fresno, University of California, State University, they call it. Don't mean to laugh at the university. State University of California. And he has a site where you can find stories and video, a lot of information. And his main complaint, of course, is that most Western reporters covering the Middle East do not speak Arabic, and simply go to the local guy who's a friend of the U.S. State Department, and then repeats whatever he's told, and then he shows you how that happens. But he has a nice knock against Human Rights Watch, and apropos of the sectarian warfare we're hearing about in Iraq and Syria, and he points out that people are throwing gas on the water, or gas on the fire, pardon me, by promoting the idea of Sunni-Shia struggle, rather than saying, you have sectarian elements. Some of them do want to see a struggle between different schools of faith. He wants to know why responsible agencies or organizations like Amnesty, Human Rights Watch, and others join in and repeat things. And here's his example. He says, look, and this is his words, look at this headline by Human Rights Watch. Iran, halt execution of 33 Sunnis. They're calling on Iran not to execute 33 Sunnis. And he says, why was the sectarian affiliation of the convicts mentioned? I don't recall that Human Rights Watch ever identified the sectarian affiliation of victims of Israeli aggression and violence. You never read in Human Rights Watch reports such as Israel murdered thousands of Muslims and Christians. The headline is also misleading in another way. This is the part that caught my attention. Those individuals were convicted of murdering Sunnis. These are people convicted of murder, and their victims were Sunnis. So why are you saying in a headline, halt the execution of Sunnis? What you're saying is, let's see if we can get this going. Let's see if we can rock the boat, get people angry with each other. And he goes on to say that, of course, he's against the executions in the first place, but he says this is somebody trying to make trouble. And I absolutely agree that too many people are buying into the idea of, as Zafar Ben-Gesh said on the show last week, of let's make this see if we can make it Sunni versus Shia. This is a political fight. And in terms of the number of Muslims in the world, this is a minuscule number. And it has to do with the result of a U.S. invasion and also U.S. game of dividing to conquer. And it's playing with fire, and people shouldn't do it. Now, another matter I want to call attention to, this is the anniversary, of course, of we're coming up for the World War I, and we ought to all be on the ball on this, I'm seeing all kinds of events are being scheduled, and they're saying remember, and the biggest thing that they're never asking us to remember is that our responsibility to avoid war, to not get armed, and to not use language which will lead to it. We're supposed to say, gee, World War I was awful. Most people agree that World War I led to World War II. Because of the way World War I was resolved, all the wise folks watching said, oh boy, now you've really started something. And yes, they did. And it gets, each time, each episode was uglier. And instead of saying, well, Sergeant so-and-so was a hero, he charged up the hill, and then blah, blah, I understand. But our duty is to not have the war in the first place. And for example, when they revisit the war and say, here's a picture of the little anarchist or a Serbo-nationalist Princip. He started World War I. No, he didn't. He committed a murder. He shot two individuals, as a Serb nationalist. That's my understanding. But he didn't start the war. That took people who should have been trying to avoid a war. They used it as an excuse to go to war.
Did you notice the Globe and Mail ran an article about him where they referred to him as a jihadist? You know, I mean, I said, I mean, how stupid. you're appealing. You're trying to make the reader stupid.
Yeah, you're actually using that kind of language.
Yeah. Yeah,
you know, there is. I mean, there was a group. He had an organization he belonged to. It was not an Islamic organization. It was a nationalist organization. And their problem, you know, I do think everybody should be reading. I certainly was. I needed to be reminded that there had been fighting there in 1910, 1912, 1913, armed violence, and this was what was feeding that situation and the attempt to dictate by the Austrians what was going to happen, and taking of territory. And today we want to know, well, how are we going to avoid a war in Ukraine, over Ukraine? How are you going to avoid a war in Iraq and one in Syria? Well, I would say to the President of the United States, don't say to the President of Syria or say to the world that the President of Syria has to step down. That is not how you peacefully resolve something. If you say that, that means you're going to attack him or aid people who are using violence to solve problems. So our statesmanship, actually, that kind of statement is equivalent to the, what was he at the time, the emperor of Austria, who was using, similarly, you will do this or I will invade you. Now, President Obama said President Assad of Syria must step down. Well, and then he says next, I'm going to provide money and aid to people who are violently waging war on that government. Well, if you want to learn the lesson, 1914, 1918, the lesson is, let's have diplomacy. Let's have people who say, we're going to work this out so that vast numbers of people don't die. And last point on that I would make that I was noticed that somebody pointed out is that modern warfare, where people say, we love our troops, we're behind the troops, if there is a war, more of you are going to die than the troops. So get used to the idea. You don't have to say, oh, he gave his life for his country. So are you. It's going to be, in Europe, they found out vast numbers, the number of civilian deaths was much greater than the soldiers' deaths. So this idea of, oh, yeah, Johnny went to war, baloney. If you're close to a major war, it's going to be you. So you can stop, you know, taking your hat off when a soldier goes by. You're going to be the one. This is the Taylor Report, CIUT 89.5. Write to us, Taylor, at CIUT.fm. Thank you, Andy, and Phil, we'll see you next week.